I want to talk to you this morning about three aspects of anxiety and how to overcome them. Three aspects of anxiety and how to overcome them. I want to kind of remind you that we're going through the Sermon on the Mount. It's one of the great, great sections of all the Gospels. I love the Sermon on the Mount. And one of the dangers, as I've told you, that we need to avoid when we read the Sermon on the Mount is not simply to hear the Lord be giving us, he's giving us a description, if you will, of the transformed human person, not so much a prescription, you got to do this and do this and do this and do this and do that, but rather more a description of what does a transformed human person look like? What are they like? What are some of their moves? What goes on in their heart, in their mind? What are their priorities? So as I, Jesus, begin to live my life in you, what happens to you? How do you begin to change? Now, this gospel today, therefore, is the Lord is saying, well, one of the things that's going to happen to you when I begin to live my life in you and change you is that you're going to be a lot less anxious about things. Someone say, Lord, have mercy. You see, the Lord is trying to say to us here, he's not giving us a platitude. Don't worry. You hear that a dozen times a day, don't you? Don't worry. Don't worry. And it doesn't help very much either, does it? And the Lord isn't pulling that on us. This is not some cheesy bit of advice or some platitude he's giving to us. He's saying, look, you don't have to be anxious. You can choose to be anxious. You don't have to be. And when I begin to give you the gift of living my life in you through my grace operative in you, you're going to discover that one of the things that happens to you, one of the transformations that you experience, is that you're a lot less anxious. So that is, in effect, what this gospel is about today. The Lord is describing for us what will happen to us. We'll see at the end, I hope, that a lot of us are on the journey. We are becoming less anxious. The Lord can do that for us. We'll see how. Now let's look, therefore, at three aspects of anxiety and how to overcome them. Now, the first source of anxiety in our life that the Lord points out is the problem of possessions. The Lord says, look, you can't serve two masters. You're either going to love one and hate the other, or be devoted to one and you're going to despise the other. But you can't serve God and mammon. Now, this word mammon, it can be translated riches or wealth, or it can also be understood in an extended sense as greed, or even in a more extended sense, mammon is the world and all of its claims on us, huh? All of the ways it gets its hooks in us. And the Lord says, look, I want you to know, he says, that a huge source of your anxiety are your possessions. Now, we think, in our twisted thinking, that if I just get more things, then I'll be soothed and I'll be more comfortable and I'll be less anxious. The more things that I get, I'll have plenty of things stored up and I won't have to worry about anything. Well, it's just the opposite. The Lord is saying, look, you can't go on having all these things and think you're not going to be anxious. A chief source of your anxiety and mine is what we have. Now, there's a very interesting thing to look at here, too. The Greek word that's translated here, serve, is in the Greek word doulein, meaning to be a slave, to serve as a slave. And it's a very objectionable word for obvious reasons, but the Lord is basically saying, look, you're either going to be a slave of your possessions or of me. Now make your choice. Now, we don't like to ever hear ourselves described of as a slave, but I got news for you. We're so small and so dependent that we're going to be a slave to something or someone. It might as well be the Lord. All right, come on, someone say amen. Lord, here I am. Take possession of me, because otherwise I'm a mess. That's what the Lord is saying. He's saying, look, you're going to be a slave. to something or someone. Don't let it be your possessions. Let me take possession of your life. Now, I died for you, and I purchased you, and at a price. But I want to come and take possession of your heart and your mind and begin to free you from your obsession about things and possessions and all the anxiety that goes with them. Now, the Lord gives some examples here that most Americans don't have a lot of trouble with at one level. He says, look, why do you worry about what am I going to eat or what am I going to wear? And well, listen, man, you look at a typical closet of the average American, man, we're a bunch of clothes horses, man. We got a clothes. We got a. If I were to say, bring all your extra clothes, we'd probably fill five boxes back here. Amen. We got plenty of clothes. And I got news for you. I have plenty of food. Most of us have too much food, see? And you see, the Lord is saying, look, but don't understand something, church. Our thinking is, if I get more of something or enough of something, I won't be anxious. But you know what? It isn't true, is it? Because even though we have plenty of clothes and plenty of food, we're still anxious. Does this outfit look good on me? Does this blouse go with this dress? Does this tie go with this suit? I need to get the matching earrings to match the blazer to match the shoes. Is this in fashion or is it out of fashion? See, does this make me look fat? Men, never answer that question. When the question is given, just say, "Of course not." We have plenty, and we're still anxious. Now let's talk about food for a minute. They got plenty of it. But you know, church, and look, I want you to eat right. Please don't hear me to say that ignore all points of view about food. There are some harmful foods and things to avoid, and we ought to moderate our salt. And that's all well and good. But you know, people are so anxious about what they eat today. Oh, this might have sulfites, or this might have sodium, or this might have triglycerides, and all these words, and oh, we're all anxious and worked up, and man, we're anxious. We are so anxious about food, and we have plenty, but we're still anxious about it. Do you see what the Lord is teaching us? He's saying, your things drive you crazy. And even if you have enough of them, you're still anxious about them. Now, good, be careful about what you eat. I know I need to lose some weight. Lent is coming. But you know, a real gift to ask for the Lord is to really enjoy the good things that we have, to just enjoy some of them, and to be satisfied with them. So, brothers and sisters, in the end, the Lord is saying to us, your possessions are a big source of your anxiety. And what I want to do for you is to begin to live my life in you so that, first of all, you're going to be satisfied with less. You're not going to need all the latest gizmos and gadgets, and you don't need, 50 pairs of shoes to match all the different colored dresses, or you won't need all that. You're going to be happy to be more simple and more straightforward, and you're not going to be anxious about whether the plasma screen TV is 60 inches wide or 68 inches wide. You're not going to worry about the fact that your neighbor has something more than you do, or you're going to become more happy with what you already have. You're going to find out that you need a lot less, and you're not going to be so anxious about all these things. And again, we keep thinking, if I just get one more thing, I'll be satisfied. And we're not. We're just more anxious. You know, this stupid TV is supposed to allow me to watch five channels at once and to have all the little mini screens and the menus, and it's not working right. I got to call the service man, and I got to miss work so he can... Well, you get the idea, right? On and on that stuff goes. And the Lord says, look, Remember, the book of Ecclesiastes says that the rich man's possessions afford him no rest. Pay attention, church. Our lives are very complicated. We're running around worrying about insurance, worrying about repairing things. We're running around with all kinds of anxieties, and an awful lot of it's just tied to what we have. So the Lord says, look, I want to help you to be free so that you're not enslaved. Because what happens to us is that instead of having our possessions, they have us. They possess us. So again, the first gift that the Lord wants to give us is the gift of a more simple heart. A heart that doesn't need 10,000 things, but is satisfied with maybe 9,000 things. Or how about a couple hundred things? And to just be able to simplify and have our life become more focused and simple. This is the gift the Lord wants to give us. And it's, again, church, pay attention. The Lord is saying it's a huge source of anxiety. We've never had so much as we have in this modern American culture. And yet, surveys say that almost 70% of Americans are on some form of psychotropic drug to help them with stress, with anxiety, depression. The more we have, the more miserable we become. And still, we want more. Still. And the Lord says, I can give you a new heart. Are you praying with me? Now, the second aspect of anxiety is, we've seen the first one is the problem of possessions. Now we have, if you will, the problem of paternity. Now, what I mean here is that the Lord makes reference in this very short pericope to his father on four occasions. He keeps saying to us, you know, you're anxious. But listen, your heavenly father knows what you need. Your heavenly father takes care of all things, and he'll be able to take care of you. The birds, he takes care of them. The beautiful flowers, God takes care of all these things. Your heavenly Father can take care of you. Now, what happens, though, for even many regular church-going Christians who love the Lord Jesus, many Christians struggle to really be closely related to the heavenly Father. For many Christians, the Father is something of a stranger. He's up there. He runs the universe. He's the father of Jesus. I've read about him in the scripture, but an awful lot of Christians have a tough time relating to God the Father. But you know, one of the most precious things that Jesus wants to give you and give me is a deep and an intimate and very personal relationship with his Father. He wants us to know his Father and to love his Father. It's in this Matthew chapter 6 that he teaches the prayer, the Our Father. One of the most precious things in this chapter that Jesus wants you and me to grab hold of as a gift is a deep and a profound, if you will, relationship with the Heavenly Father. And what the Lord is saying is that as you begin to grab hold of that and have that relationship that I can give you, a lot of your anxiety is going to go away. Now, let me illustrate, if I can, just a story from childhood, just to show you how this works. When I was probably 6 or 7 years of age, I was like a lot of children. I was kind of scared of monsters or of people breaking into the house or of bad things happening, especially at night. And maybe there would be a fire or maybe a bad person would break in and harm us, and I was anxious. But when my father was home, I wasn't anxious. Now, for a brief period of about a year, my father went away to the Vietnam War in 1968, and I was all of 7 or 8 years of age, and I think my parents meant well, but they said, you know, while I'm away, son, you're the man of the house. Man, if this thing's depending on me, we're all in trouble, you know? And I want you to know, I spent a year of extended anxiety. I was afraid. I was sure that something bad was going to happen. And the neighbor's house had a fire one day, and I started getting anxious that our house was going to catch on fire. And I was worried that somebody might break in and harm us. I was worried about a lot of things. My daddy was gone, and I felt vulnerable. I felt alone, and I was anxious. And then in 1969, my father came back from the Vietnam War, and Daddy was home again, and my anxiety just went away. See, I didn't have to will it to go away. All right, I'm going to decide not to be anxious. Don't worry. Okay, I'm not going to worry. You don't do that with anxiety, do you? But what happened was that my daddy came home, and the anxiety just went away. Because Daddy was home, and I experienced his presence. And with Daddy home, I wasn't afraid anymore. And what Jesus is saying to us is, when you can really begin to have that kind of a relationship with the Heavenly Father, my Daddy God loves me, and he's here present. He's going to take care of me. An awful lot of our anxieties just go away. Now listen, one of the most precious things in that Jesus wants to give you and me is this kind of a relationship with the Heavenly Father. A very precious word that was so precious to the early Christian community that they didn't even translate it. They just left it in the Aramaic, is the word Abba. Abba is not baby talk. It's not da-da. It doesn't mean that. It's the Aramaic term for father, which is the family word. When my father was alive, I did not call home and say, "Hello, Father. How are you today, Father?" I said, "Dad, Dad." And so this word Abba is the family word for father. And Jesus is saying to us, and Paul takes up the theme in both Galatians and Romans, that I'm giving you a spirit that makes you cry out, "Abba, Abba," to God the Father. Abba, Dad, Papa, Daddy. And it's not about the word only, but it's about what the word means and the experience that it describes. You could teach a parrot to say the word. It's not about saying the word Abba. It's about experiencing that my Daddy God loves me, that my Daddy God cares for me and provides for me and protects me. And even when there are difficulties, he's up to something good. He loves me. He cares for me. Papa, Daddy. And so, church, the second, if you will, aspect of anxiety is that for many people, God the Father is a distant, aloof figure, a stranger, the deity up there who's running the show. But for many, he's a stranger and they're alienated from him. And Jesus says, "Look, let me begin to live my life in you. And you're going to love my Daddy God like I love my daddy. And you're going to have an affection for him. And you're going to experience his presence. And you're just going to, your anxieties are just going to start to go away. Because Daddy is home. Daddy is nearby. It's going to be just fine." What a gift to ask from Jesus. Amen? And so it is that the second aspect is this problem of paternity. My father is not to be distant, but very deeply present in my life. So we've seen the problem of possessions, the problem of paternity. And the third thing then to talk about is the problem of priorities. It's a little bit related to the first thing, but it goes a little deeper. Jesus says, "Look, you want to be less anxious? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else will take care of itself. Everything else will fall into place. All these other things will be added on to you, but you won't be obsessed by them." Now let's talk about priorities for a minute. One of the deepest problems and one of the deepest sources of most of our anxiety is that we're running in 8 different directions. I'm so busy, I met myself coming back. That-a-way, you know? We want too many things. We're trying to do too many things. We're running around chasing butterflies. And what's it really all about? What does it add up to? And frankly, a lot of it doesn't add up to anything. And we're anxious and we're running around, and the Lord is saying, look, learn to do one thing. And that one thing will influence every other thing that you do. Now let me give you some pictures or some images so that we can sort of see what the Lord is getting at. Some of you may remember some years ago the movie City Slickers. And it was it was a movie about these high executive types, these high muckety mucks up there in the higher echelons of corporate America, and they were carrying 6-figure incomes, and they're big wigs, and they're all anxious and worried about closing the deal or, you know, advancing the market, and they're anxious and worried, and they're all finally they're drinking themselves to death, and they say, what's this all about? And they finally get together and say, you know, let's just take a month off and just do something completely different. And so they go off to this dude ranch, and they're going to learn to herd cows and run the cattle from one field to the next and ride horses. And they get there, and of course, these guys that run the dude ranch start poking fun at them, you know, these city slickers, and they're anxious, and this saddle hurts, and they're complaining about every little thing. And there's this old guy in the movie, if some of you saw it, and he finally turns to one of them and he says, you want to know what the secret of life is? He says, yeah, this. And he held up this one finger. This, he says, a finger? No, one thing, one thing. You do one thing and everything else doesn't matter. He says, wow. So what's the one thing? That's what you have to figure out. By the way, those of you who look at my blog at all, I have the video clip right on the blog. You can look on today's posting from me and this sermon. All these notes are there from this sermon, and that little clip from City Slickers is right there. You'll need to pardon it. It has a little bit of a profanity in it, but it's there to make the point. I didn't repeat the profanity in my sermon. One thing, brothers and sisters, one thing. What one thing is your life really about? See, the problem is too many people live unreflective lives. And there isn't one thing. There's a whole series of desires and wishes. And if there's any one thing, most people just say, I want to be happy. That's about all they can come up with. What are you living for? What is your goal in life? What is that one thing that governs every other thing you do and helps you to decide about every course of action you take? And you're going to say, I know it's supposed to be God. And it is supposed to be God. But brothers and sisters, I'm asking you to be honest for a minute, as I got to be honest with myself. We can say, oh yeah, it's God. But the question is, what is it really? What really is the one thing? Some may admit, well, it's really my career. Frankly, an awful lot of people have substituted the career for God. It's all about my career. And family suffers, children suffer, I suffer. Everything suffers for the sake of the career. But an awful lot of other people just don't really have any one thing they're doing. They're just sort of doing a dozen things, and they have really no direction, no purpose. They're just kind of wandering around from thing to thing. Whatever's urgent gets the attention. And instead of following the priority of the important, they're following the priority of the urgent. And they run around putting out fires. For what? What one thing? Now, I'll just tell you my one thing. I've tried to pray a lot about it, and here's my goal in life. I want to die loving God and His kingdom. In everything I do, how does it relate to the kingdom? How does it relate to God? Is this what God wants? I'm not saying I do it perfectly every day, but as I sit down and reflect on my life, I want to die loving God and seeking His kingdom. Because what you want, you get. Brothers and sisters, I pray for you and for me that increasingly our life becomes about one thing. Now let me give you another picture. Take a man who's driving from Washington to New York City. And he knows where he's going. He knows his destination. And as he drives there, really everything he does is about getting to New York. And so it is that he may pull over to get gas for a moment, but that's just to help him get to New York. He may have to do a little detour because the road is blocked, but he's going to get back on track for New York. It's all about getting to New York. And so he sees signs along the way, and he knows exactly what to do with those signs. One sign says, South, 95 South, Richmond. Well, he just ignores it, right? He doesn't even think twice about that sign. He says, well, that's not where I'm going, so he just ignores it and drives right on. That sign causes him no anxiety. He's not wondering, what should I do? He's going to New York. It's obvious that that's not where he wants to go, so he simply ignores it. Now take another man who does not know where he is going, who has no real destination. He's just going here, going there. And all of a sudden he sees a sign, 95 South, Richmond. Should I take it? Shouldn't I take it? Will it be good or will it be bad? I don't know. What should I do? I don't know. Every fork in the road makes this man anxious. Every sign. How do I interpret it? Do I want to follow it or not? He's lost. He's confused. And notice, he's anxious. Every sign. He's so easily misdirected and he's lost, and some signs say go here and some signs say go there, and he doesn't know what to do. He's anxious, he's lost, because his life isn't about one thing. It's about God knows what. Do you see that? How anxious he'll be at every road sign, every fork in the road, every exit? Should I or shouldn't I? He doesn't know, so he's anxious. And the Lord is saying, listen, I want to give you a gift. And the gift is that as I live my life in you, your life is increasingly about only one thing: God and what God loves and who God loves. It's about God. And if God wants it, I want it. If God doesn't want it, I don't want it. If God loves it, I love it. If God hates it, I hate it. We don't have to go through all kinds of racking decision-making. It's just our life becomes more simple, more straightforward. Our life is about one thing: God and what pleases God. Church, it's a great gift the Lord can give us. And it's not an easy gift to receive. But it's a great, great gift to seek. Now, just a couple of scriptures to remind you. Scripture is very consistent in this theme. Paul says, this one thing I do. This one thing I do. I press on for the prize marked out for me in Christ Jesus my Lord, forgetting what lies behind. One thing. The book of James says, the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He's also anxious. Psalm 27 says, there is only one thing I ask of the Lord. This alone I seek: to dwell forever in the house of the Lord and see his face. That's the gift the Lord wants to give us, to do one thing. Now, all these things that the Lord has said to us today, your flesh isn't going to be able to do it. My flesh can't pull it off. Remember, God isn't saying to you, now go home and figure out what the one thing is and start doing it. Your flesh can't figure it out, and your flesh won't do it. Your flesh says, what's on TV tonight? That's what my flesh says. That's what your flesh says. The Lord says, look, let me live my life in you. Grow in your relationship with me, and I am going to transform you. And little by little, you're not going to need so many possessions. The problem of possessions will begin to go away. You'll be satisfied with what you have, and you won't need five times as much. And all the anxiety that goes with all the things you have will begin to diminish and go away. When I begin to live my life in you, that'll start happening. And when I begin to live my life in you, you're going to start to know your daddy God, and you're going to love him, and you're going to know and experience his affection for you, and you're going to start to trust him. And a lot of your anxiety is going to start going away. And finally, your life is going to increasingly be about just one thing. Whatever God wants, I want. Your flesh can't do it. But Jesus living in you, now we got a dog in the fight. Now we can do it because he does it in us. Now, I need to conclude. And I just want to conclude by saying this to you. I promise you in the Lord Jesus Christ that this is not a bunch of slogans. This isn't a bunch of hopeful suggestions. That this is very, very real. And I say it to you as a firsthand witness. It is happening in my life. I am not what I want to be. But church, I am not what I used to be. And the closer I get to Jesus and the more he lives his life in me, through his grace and his indwelling spirit, and church, that is growing in my life, I am not nearly as anxious as I used to be. I am satisfied with less. I don't need lots of extra things. I have what I need, not what I want, but that's just fine because all the things I thought I wanted, I don't really need so much of them. I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you what the Lord is doing in my life. I'm telling you that I love my daddy God more than ever. I am closer to God the Father than I've ever been before, and I've learned to trust him more and more. And I'm telling you, increasingly, my life is about only one thing. I wish I could say to you, absolutely, there's no other things that intrude. I'm just telling you, though, church, I'm on the way, and Jesus has brought me this far by faith, and I just know he didn't bring me this far to leave me. It is happening in my life. This gospel is true, and I know that some of you know it's true as well. I see some heads, and I hear some amens, and because you know it's true. Step by step, we'll make this journey, church. The journey may be hard, but as long as we make it with God, step by step, we're going to make this journey, and the Lord is going to change us and transform us. And I promise you, in the Lord Jesus Christ, complete victory in the Lord. And all the anxieties and the things that weigh us down will begin to go away one by one. And more we become serene, confident. Our life is more simple and about one thing. Now, you don't have to be worried. If you want to be, you can. But the Lord is saying, you don't have to worry. And don't you be afraid. Joy comes in the morning and troubles, they don't last always. And there's a friend named Jesus who will wipe your tears away, and if your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say, I know that I can make it, and I know that I can stand. No matter what may come my way, Jesus, my life is in your hands. And church, when he lives his life in you and me, we're not going to worry anymore. Amen.